على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما.
Assalamu alaikum everyone and welcome to Sacred Texts. So the purpose of this podcast is to convert Islamic literature into an audio format so that it becomes easier on us to read this amazing knowledge and contemplate on it by ourselves through someone else's voice. So far, we're reading right now is the stories of the prophets by Imam Ibn Kathir, who passed away in 774 after Hijri. And so within the stories of the prophets, we read the first two chapters, which is the chapter of Adam alayhi salam, as well as Idris alayhi salam. And so now we're going to continue on with the story of Nuh alayhi salam, Noah. Let's continue. Imam Ibn Kathir says, he was Nuh ibn Lamik ibn Mithushilk ibn Enoch, who was the son of Yard, the son of Mahalbil, the son of Kinan, the son of Anush, the son of Seth, the son of Adam alayhi salam. According to the history of the people of the book, the period between the birth of Noah and the death of Adam alayhi salam was 146 years. Ibn Abbas narrates that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, though, that the period between Adam alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam was 10 centuries. So I'm going to interchange using the English name, which is Noah, as well as the Arabic name, which is Nuh alayhi salam, because in this contemporary world, he's known by both of these names, but we're speaking about the same Prophet of Allah. And so Imam Ibn Kathir continues that for many generations, Noah's people had been worshipping statues that they called gods. They believed that these gods would bring them good, protect them from evil, and provide for all their needs. And they gave these statues names such as Wadan, Suyan, Yahuta, Yauga, Nasran, and many other names. And basically they gave them these names according to the power that they thought these gods possessed. Allah Almighty revealed in the Holy Quran, and they have said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad, nor Suwa, nor Yahut, nor Yaug, nor Nasr. Originally, these were the names of good people who had lived among them, but after their death, statues of them were erected just so their memories could be kept alive. After some time, however, people then began to worship those same statues. Later generations did not even know why those statues had been erected. They only knew that their parents had prayed to them. That is how idol worshipping developed, since they had no understanding of Allah the Almighty, who would then punish them for their deeds when they eventually became a cruel and immoral people in society. Ibn Abbas explained that following upon the death of those righteous men, Shaitan inspired their people to erect statues in the places where they used to sit. They did this, but these statues were not worshipped until the coming generations. Those coming generations deviated from the right way of Allah, and then they worshipped them as their idols. In his version, Ibn Jarir narrates that there were righteous people who lived in the period between Adam and Nuh alayhi salam, who had followers, and these followers held them as role models. After their deaths, their friends then used to emulate them, used to try to copy them. They said that if we make statues of them, it will be more pleasing to us in our worship, and it'll remind us of them. So they built statues of them. And after they had died, others came after them. And Iblis went to their minds and said that your forefathers actually used to worship them. And through that worship is how they got the rain, how they got their sustenance, how they got all of these things. And so those later generations then started worshipping those statues. Ibn Abi Hatim relates this story, that Wadan was a righteous man who was loved by his people. When he died, they withdrew to his grave in the land of Babylonia, and were over, and they were overwhelmed by sadness. When Iblis saw how sad they were upon his death, he disguised himself in the form of a man, and he said, "That I have seen your sorrow because of this man's death. Can I make a statue like him which could be put in your meeting place to make you remember him?" And they said, "Yes." And so he made a statue like him. They put it in their meeting place in order to be reminded of him. And when Iblis saw that their interest was in remembering him, he said, "Can I build a statue of him in the home of each one of you, so that everyone would be a part of this and everyone could remember him?" And they all agreed. Their children learned about and saw what they were doing. They also learned about the remembrance of him, until they took him to be a deity. They assumed this was a god. They assumed that this was the reason why we are getting all this bounty. And they started worshipping him instead of Allah. So the first to be worshipped instead of Allah was actually Wadan. And this was the first idol that was ever worshipped. And then all the other ones. And then that's what he was called eventually as well. The essence of this point is that every idol from those earlier mentioned was worshipped by a certain group of people. It was mentioned that people made pictures, and as the ages passed, they made these pictures then into statues so that their forms would be fully recognized. And afterwards, these same statues, people started turning towards them for worship instead of Allah, instead of God. It was narrated that Umm Salma and Umm Habiba told Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a church called Maria, which they had seen in the land of Abyssinia. They described its beauty and the pictures therein, and he said that those are the people who build places of worship on the grave of every dead man who was righteous, and then make those pictures. And they are the worst of creation of Allah. Worshipping anything other than Allah is a tragedy that results not only in the loss of freedom, its serious effect reaches man's mind and destroys it as well. Allah Almighty created man and his mind with its purpose set on achieving knowledge, the most important of which is that Allah is alone, la ilaha illallah, and all the rest are worshippers. So basically that there is only one God. And therefore, disbelief in Allah or polytheism results in the loss of that freedom and in the corruption of that mind and the absence of a noble target in life. Basically, here I think what Imam Ibn Kathir is trying to say and the way that it's been translated, but what the main theme here, central theme here, is that we've been created for a purpose. And within our creation, like our natural self, what's best for it is acknowledging and worshipping that there is no other God but God. But when we go against that, we go against our very own nature and we end up hurting ourselves. And so Imam Ibn Kathir continues, "Into this moment, Allah then sent Nuh." So this was the condition in which Noah alayhi salam came. And so in this environment, Allah sent Nuh with his message to his people. Nuh was the only intellectual not caught in this whirlpool of man's destruction, which was caused by polytheism. So what happened, other than erecting statues of God and using them as worship, people then started taking advantage of that. So based on the gods that were there, they would get money from people, they would get wealth, they would get like social and political status from it. Because, somebody is suffering, somebody's daughter or son is sick, and you say that, hey, if you pray over here, or if you sacrifice to this deity, that illness will go away. But that sacrifice will turn into a lot of money, a lot of gold, essentially. And so this led to a lot of, as you can imagine, whenever wealth comes into man's hand, it became very corrupt, the society, because of that. And so Allah, in His mercy, sent His messenger Noah to guide His people. Noah was an excellent speaker, and he was a very patient man. He pointed out to his people the mysteries of life and the wonders of the universe. He pointed out how the night is regularly followed by the day, and that the balance between these opposites was designed by Allah Almighty for our good, that the night gives coolness and rest, while the day gives warmth and awakens activity. The sun encourages growth, keeping all plants and animals alive, while the moon and the stars assist in the reckoning of time, in direction, and in seasons. He pointed out that the ownership of the heavens and the earth belongs only to the Divine Creator. And therefore, he explained to his people, there cannot have been more than one deity. He clarified to them how the devil had deceived them for so long, and that the time had come for this deceit to stop. Noah spoke to them of Allah's glorification of man, how he had created him and provided him with sustenance and the blessings of a mind. He told them that idol worshipping was actually a suffocation and it's an injustice to your own mind. He warned them not to worship anyone but Allah and described the terrible punishment Allah would mete out if they continued in their other that as well as their other evil ways. The people listened to him in silence. His words were a shock to their stagnant minds. So your mind becomes so stagnant, so firm, so like stuck on one thing, that this was a shock to those people. And so Imam Ibn Kathir continues that it's as if it's a shock to a person who is asleep under a wall, which is about to fall, and who is vigorously awakened. This person may be alarmed and may even become angry, though the aim was to save him. Noah's people were divided into two groups after his warning. His words touched the hearts of the weak, the poor, and the miserable, the ones that were suffering in that society, and soothed their wounds with its mercy. As for the rich, the strong, the mighty, and the rulers, so people who have pride, they looked upon the warning with cold distrust. They believed that they would be better off if things had stayed the way they were. And therefore, they started their war of words against Noah. First, they accused Noah of being only human like themselves. They said, from the Holy Quran, the chiefs of the disbelievers among his people said, we see you, but a man like ourselves. Imam Ibn Kathir continues, he, however, had never said anything other than that. He asserted that indeed he was only a human being, but Allah had sent a human messenger because the earth was inhabited by humans. If it had been inhabited by angels, Allah would have sent an angelic messenger. And so this contest between the polytheists and Noah would continue. The rulers had thought at first that Noah's call would soon fade on its own. When they found that his call attracted the poor, the helpless, and the common laborers, which were, you know, greater in number. Laborers are usually always greater in number than the rulers. They started to verbally attack and taunt him because now this threatened their power. And they said that you are only followed by the poor and the meek and the worthless. So he basically said that, you know, prominent members of the society don't follow you. And those were some of the things that his opposition said. So this is where we will pause for today. And in terms of what I gained from today is, again, it's so interesting how the themes are like sort of reflected like throughout humanity and stuff. That a very similar thing happened. Like sometimes it happened in different ways, but it was still similar. When all these prophets of Allah and these messengers, and we'll continue to read on it, when they reached out to people and they said that, hey, you know, come back to this, hey, don't do this, come to this, etc. Usually it's interesting that first it's the meek, it's the you know, what human beings divide society among themselves, and the people that basically end up at the bottom of that food chain. It is the slaves, the ones who are oppressed, the meek, the poor. And always to them, that message first translates very strongly. And after that, sometimes then some powerful people and stuff come in as well. But that's also interesting, and there's been many hadiths as well and sayings and stuff about how, you know, we, like, obviously this is not the exact sayings and stuff, but the interpretation and stuff out of it is that we tend to create all these distinctions, you know, and sometimes it's just pure luck. Someone is born somewhere, or someone finds some wealth or something, and someone that doesn't have it, they're considered the lower part of society. But that lower part usually is much more closer to God. They have a much more affinity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message, lighter hearts as well. And I've been part of like a lot of different charity organizations and stuff, like on the side. And I remember like anytime we would reach out to kind of like the middle class, or the people that it doesn't seem like they're, you know, very, very wealthy. They don't have these huge mansions and all this stuff. But those are the people that donate more. And even though they currently donate, they're always willing to give more and stuff, to help a brother and stuff. From personal experience, I don't know, you might disagree. And I know that there is good and bad in every aspect of society as well. But that's always really interesting to me too. Okay, I'm remembering this for Alberta Cancer Foundation. We used to, when we did fundraising and stuff, we were so much more successful, even for like student clubs and stuff, in the communities that weren't known as, you know, the very, very wealthy communities, rather just in the middle. So, alhamdulillah. And then the Prophet of Allah, the leader of all mankind, the mercy for all of creation, he actually chose to live a very simple life. Like if he wanted, he had the choice, since at one point he was the temporal head. In every single way he was the head of all, like the Arabs, but he still chose to live in like in a mud house, sleep on the ground, on a ripped mat, you know, eat simply, sleep simply, wear simply, all of that. So there is something very special in being humble, and both choosing that humbleness for yourself as well as just being in it, and born in it as well. What else did I learn? I think other than that, just the way that the devil and the shaitan, and you know, he's taking this oath that he's gonna try in his power everything to dissuade humanity from the right path and stuff. But how he does it is, he's not very upfront about it. He's very like sneaky about it. He's a whisperer, and he slowly ropes people in. I think human beings, and again, you might disagree, and if you do, go ahead and tell me, but I think they're inherently good. Like there is an essence in us, and there's something in us that wants us to be the best, and that's why we always have, you know, in a fight even, or in a, everybody thinks of them that they're right, you know, and they have just justification for it. And the fact that we need some sort of justification in order to do even something, you know, like fight someone, means we always try to at least look for the good. And in general, we try to be like that. So I think if Shaitan were to just come and be like, hey, you know, do this, it would be like drastic, it would be too big, and we'd be like, no, we're not gonna do this. But instead, he slowly ropes you in. So over here, first he creates the statues in one place, and then he slowly creates statues in other places. It starts with just like their memories, and then eventually it leads to worship. So, but in the same way, I think this is the same way he works in the other people's stuff. So having an awareness of that, and Islam sometimes then, when it has rules or it has laws where it's like, oh, this is haram and this is not preventative, sometimes it's like, oh, why not, you know? It doesn't seem like this is hurting me or the society too much at this point. But essentially Islam just stops you at your very kind of core. Like it takes your nature into consideration, and it's like a moderate approach. But at the same time, stuff that's bad for you, before it even begins, before those whisperers even lead to something worse, it's like, nope, this is you're not even allowed to do this because eventually this is what you're going to turn into. So that's one of the very beautiful things about it. So, alhamdulillah, I think that's it for today. And so tomorrow we'll continue. Oh, not sorry, not tomorrow. On Monday we'll continue on with the story of the Prophet. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, and if you have any feedback, please comment on this video. It's gonna go on my Instagram in a little bit. Take care, everybody. Assalamu alaikum. And of course, it'll be on all the podcasting apps as well.